All right. And the title of the message today is The Why, in quotes, The Why of a Sorrowful Man. And of course, as we're in Job, we can kind of understand Job starts off being quite a sorrowful man. We're going to read the text verses here first, Job chapter 3, verses 20 to 23, and then we'll begin the message. Job chapter 3, verses 20 to 23. Job says here, "Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in?" Now, I mean, you may not fully understand everything that he's saying there, but for sure, the man is at the end of his rope. He's saying he would prefer not to be alive, right? Now, I don't know how many people might have had situations in their lives where you've come up against people that you've been talking to about the Lord, and surprisingly enough, there are a lot who just will not put their faith and trust in God because they've seen too much suffering from either themselves or people in their family, loved ones. And because of that, they just refuse to believe that there's a loving God out there who cares. We've experienced that in our family kind of was the impetus for this message. So, and because of the testimonies, I mean, it was just beautiful how everything really worked so well together today. Job, by historical background here, Job is in a rough place right now. I'm sure we all might be able to, maybe not as rough as Job, but Job is in a situation where he's lost his children, he's lost his cattle, we would say his crop, many of his servants, and in essence, ultimately lost his health. So it's all happened like all in the same day. So, or at least within 2 days. I don't see that there was much of a span. Now, you can imagine, if you think of your families, whatever that might be, however many members of your family or extended members of your family, if you heard one day that all of your family members died, all your material possessions were taken away, destroyed, and now your health is gone, would you be like Job? Would you be sitting here wondering, like, why do I even have to go on living? And that's kind of the gist when he speaks here, and he says in verse, we'll start with verse 20. "Wherefore is light giving to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul?" So when he talks about light, it's a light that comes because he's still alive. So he's seeing days come and go, right? So the sun rises, he sees a new day, but in his mind, why do I have a new day where I just continue to be in this predicament where I'm suffering? That's what we've been talking about, right? You know, people are going through trials, and the trials continue day after day after day. And for Job, at this point, he says, and actually in a couple other verses, it would be better if I just went to the grave. That's his belief. It would be better if I just went into darkness, better if I had never even been born. Now, we've been going through the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah has been preaching God's word of judgment coming to the nation of Israel. Jeremiah also got to that point in his life where Jeremiah was like, it would have been better for me if I had not been born. Why did the Lord not take me from my mother's womb and kill me? But you see, all of that happens before the purification, I guess, of God in our lives. We all have things happening in our lives that God says, you know, that stuff is no good. And no matter how good we think we are, there's always stuff that God can still clear away. And that stuff is typically the kind of thing that God says, the only way I can do that is to increase the flame. I have to burn off the stuff that is no good. And that happens through suffering, unfortunately. I mean, there are times when God can do that. See, God can, it's so difficult to truly understand the mind of God because his mind is infinite. And we you know, have this mind, but God's mind extends like out into the universe. We're unable to contemplate the things of God sometimes, other than the things that the Holy Spirit can reveal to us. So when we see things, we can see suffering happening, and sometimes that suffering can happen in our lives, but as was said, sometimes that suffering is not necessarily for our good, but somebody else's good. And that's where it's hard for us to contemplate that, because Job right now, he's in this place, and what we're going to see is Job begins to ask that question, why? Why am I going through this, right? And that's where most of us end up being when we have this situation. But just by way of history, let's go back to Job chapter 1 and look at verses 1 to 3. And this will give us an indication of Job as a person and what we understand that Job is going to lose. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, I'll tell you, folks, that's a wonderful statement to be put in the eternal word of God, isn't it? What would you prefer to have someone say about you? Wouldn't that be great if that was how they remembered you? A perfect person, upright, and feared God. That would be amazing. That's like the ideal situation, right? And then it says, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 10 kids. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. So you can see, from a worldly perspective, this guy had everything, right? Now, what that does is, you know, people that are around, you know, he was the greatest of all the men in the East, right? So what happens is other people see this and they become envious, right? So, you know, but we're like that. We're human. We have that mentality. You know, we say, you know, why does that person prosper when I'm just barely making ends meet? When I can't make ends meet? When I'm suffering, but I'm doing God's will, and that person is unsaved, and they've got 2 boats and a mansion, you know, their kids are going to Harvard and all this stuff, right? And my kids have to go to community college because I can't afford to send them to one of these rich schools, right? So we become envious, right? But you know, the problem is that all this stuff is going to pass away. Right? So, you know, the so-called higher education that you receive in this world, what good is it going to do you in the next world? And I mean the next world, like it doesn't matter whether you're a believer going to heaven or whether you're an unbeliever going to eternal damnation. Your higher education isn't going to do you any good. This is the higher education. Whatever you learn from God's word is what you're going to take with you when you go to heaven. Well, of course, if you're not going to heaven, this isn't doing you any good anyway. But so, you know, you have to understand the material things are of no importance. It's hard for us to think that way because we live in this world, and you know, we're not in a cocoon. We're influenced by the world. The things of the world impact us. So you know, even you know, before salvation, you know, we wanted to get a education where we could get a good job, make good money, possibly get married, have a dog, a white picket fence, and own our home, right? That was the American dream, right? So, you know, but then, you know, you get saved. And, all right, I'm going to give a personal testimony, okay? Prior to being saved, that was my dream. I had a goal in life, and I wanted to, from a computer perspective, I wanted to be a systems analyst. So I wanted to be the guy that analyzed what was going on in systems, make good money, get married, have the white picket fence and a home and a dog. I wanted all that. And turned out that graduated college, and within, I'll say, 5-6 years, I was a systems analyst. I was married, I had a house, I had a dog. I didn't have a white picket fence, but I had a chain link fence. And money was going in the bank. I was able to take a vacation. Everything from a worldly perspective was going pretty well. But you know what? The dog was terrible. The dog chewed everything. The dog kept running away. And ultimately, I wasn't saved. My wife wasn't saved at the time. That broke down, got really bad. Went through divorce. The attorneys took the house. I had a leased vehicle that had to be turned back in, so I ended up, you know, having no car. It was brutal. And you know, the fact is that everything that you had, I had my health though. I mean, I'd be happy. I can say that. But you know, God had a plan, and because of that, you have to put your faith and trust in what he had to say. And what God did was God said, look, you know, I had to bring you through the ringer so that I could bring you to this point. He put this woman in my life, my wife to be right now, my wife to be, my wife who is today, to tell me about the Lord, give me my first Bible. I went to church, but all I got from church was a New Testament, the little pocket New Testament. And, you know, that I say, what good is that? But it's helpful, but it doesn't give you the full picture, right? So she explained a lot of things to me. I went to church, Grace Gospel, Pastor Jerry preaching, Tommy preaching, a number of people preaching, got saved, completely changed my life. I went back to work, and you know what? I didn't care that, you know, they were going to give me a raise or not give me a raise. My whole perspective on life changed. I was like, I agreed to come and work for you for this amount of money. Now, whether you decide you're going to pay me more or not, that's up to you. But I'm not going to be depressed because I didn't get a raise. And I had people that were making more money than me that had started later than me, but because they had more education than me, they were being paid more. And I knew more than them. And they were coming to me for help. Now, I could have been bitter, but I wasn't, because God said, you know, this is not important. Okay. Now, I don't say that to make myself puffed up, but look what God has done in my life. I now have a wife. I have several children. They're working with the. I mean, they're serving God. I know where I'm going when I die. I have good health. My wife obviously is having some health issues, but you know, she smiles. She gets up here. She sings. I'm happy. I'm a happy man. And I'm retiring this week. So, you know, life doesn't get better than that. I don't know. So this is great. But God carried me through this. So, and, you know, It's kind of like Job. If you were to read the very last chapter of Job, you can see the blessing that comes. But see, Job, in this situation, lost everything. And what was the one thing that we see? Job never cursed God, right? That was the thing that they said. So, you know, how many people do you know who are going through trials, and what comes out of their mouth? They've got all kinds of, you know, JC this and JC that, right? And they don't have any clue that what they're doing is they're defaming the precious name of our Lord and Savior. But, you know, we should never do that. And Job never does that. But Job has now come to this point where he's like, why has God even allowed me to live? And that's okay. And, you know, what we're going to do is I'm going to cover one aspect of this where I said Job asks the question, why? Why did I deserve this? Is really probably the big question everybody asks, right? Why me, right? And, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. The question is still the same. People still ask the question. They may not ask it and say, well, why is God allowing this to happen? Or why is God doing this to me? But the unsaved still want to know why. And that's the thing, you know, we as human beings figure that if we can understand the why, then we seem like we can actually deal with the thing better, right? So when we get sick, we wonder like, well, why did I get sick? Why did I catch this cold? Or why did I get the flu? Why did I get COVID? So then we start, you know, looking back like, who was I exposed to that was sick, right? They must have gave it to me, right? Why is it that when I planted my squash didn't come up this year? It came up and then it died off. And, you know, did I do something wrong? Did I not water it right? Did I not fertilize it properly? Did I not give it enough rain and sun and whatever, right? And we're sure that we must have done something wrong, right? And that's where Job is. Job is sitting there looking back on his life. He's reflecting back saying, well, what did I do to deserve this? I must have done something wrong, right? And ultimately, he comes to the conclusion, no, I was a perfect man walking with God, and I don't deserve this. And, you know, that's a bad place to be, folks. You don't ever want to feel that you're in that situation where you never deserve to have these problems. How many people here are walking today without any issue in their life? You can raise your hand. I'll say you're a liar, but I will. But you know, other than that, you know, we all have problems. Now, what if your problems, like Job, you know, you lost a loved one, you had health issues, and these things were just perpetual in your life, and you said, "Oh, I just don't see why it makes any sense to go on." Well, if you say that, then every time someone had a problem in their life, they would just say, it's not worth going on. I'm just going to end it, right? Well, we have people that are doing that, folks, and it's sad, but there's no reason for that to happen. But don't keep asking the question why. You didn't necessarily do anything wrong. That's the response right now. The problem that you might have is that you're only seeing this much of the picture. So you're not seeing the whole picture that God sees. So never get into that situation where you question God. You know, for the believer, where you say, God, why are you doing this to me? You know, when you question God, what that does is that makes us think that we know better than God what I should be able to do in my life or how I should feel. And when you begin to question God, you're walking on not just thin ice, but you're actually, I'll just say you're in the you're in the depths of a sea that is really deep, and you don't want to sink into that. So, I mean, maybe quicksand, right, would be a good example. You're struggling, and you're in the quicksand, and you don't know why. Don't question God about it. You get, you know, that's just going to make you sink, and that's a bad situation. But don't look for answers either, because there may not be an answer. In Job's situation, Job's problem was that there was a spiritual battle going on. And if you know the story, Satan came to God and said, look at this guy. This guy's got everything. He's got family. He's got all kinds of cattle. He's rich. He's got a huge house. And we didn't read it, but Job is offering sacrifices unto God for himself and for his children, just in case his kids might have done something wrong. So he's offering God sacrifice on behalf of his kids in case there was a problem. Now, that's quite something from a mentality of a man. And Satan says, but, you know, you've blessed him with everything. And because of that, that's why he's walking with you. That's why he fears God and he eschews evil. He's saying, I'm not going to go the way of mankind where, you know, I'm going to curse God, where I'm going to just do the things I want to do in my life. And God says, well, fine, go touch him then. You know, and he says, but don't kill him. So Satan kills his family, kills his cattle, destroys his home. And you know, it's like Job has no clue. But that's because there was a spiritual battle happening. And that spiritual battle is the thing that, you know, we don't want to understand sometimes. We don't see the spiritual battle. We might feel it and, you know, may not know that's why we're feeling what we're feeling. But that battle rages all around us. And it's going to continue until the Lord returns and judges this whole cursed world. Then everything will be perfect. Everything will be fine. See, that's the good news, folks. There's good news in the midst of all of this. But, you know, the problem is we still are living in this right now. And we have that limited understanding while we live in this right now. And, you know, ultimately, God's going to explain everything. God always explains everything. He may not explain it while we're here and alive right now, but he will explain it one day. And believe me, we're going to say, wow, that is God's perfect will. And I wish I would have understood that back then. It would have saved me a lot of heartache. But, you know, we have to deal with it sometimes. Now, Job is in a situation where I said everything got lost. What does he have left? You know what he has left? He has his wrecked body that has boils all over it. He has a broken potsherd, and he has a wife who's telling him, curse God and die. Oh, and he does have some friends. And, you know, it's one of those situations where you're like, man, and what? He's got a broken pot where he's just taking the shards of a pot, scraping the boils, right? Trying to get relief. And his wife is telling him to die, and his friends come and sit with him for a few days while he's sitting in ash, just because he has no idea what's going on. He's mourning. And they figure, well, we'll mourn with him. That's a good thing. Come and mourn with him. But, you know, after a while, they're like, well, this guy's not coming out of this. And now they begin to talk to him. And instead of lifting him up, they begin to criticize him. Well, you must have done something wrong, Job. That's why you're having the problems you're having. And Job's like, no, no, no. I've done this and I've done that. I never did that. And they're like, oh, come on, Job. You know you must be lying about this, right? I mean, I'm putting this in my own words because, you know, there's a lot of chapters here. But, you know, that's not a friend. A friend doesn't do that to you. A friend is there to edify you. I mean, a Christian friend. They're supposed to lift you up. And that's not happening in Job's situation. So Job ends up, he's not getting any relief. And ultimately, you know, the situation continues. And unfortunately, as you all are sitting on the edge of your seat today, that's as far as we can go. So we're going to have to wait to continue. But we will. And we'll see that, you know, God has a reason why this is happening. And we're going to see what's going on here. So we'll close in prayer and we'll continue again. Possibly next week, Frank, if you're okay with that. All right. So we'll end in prayer.